Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good and happy Sunday morning to you. The Gospel of Grace radio broadcast here for you as we are 8 a.m. every Sunday morning. Welcome. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia. And also I welcome you on behalf of my friend in this ministry, Elder David Wise, who's the good and faithful pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road in Ackerman, Mississippi. Both churches meet at 10:30 a.m., and both churches are full of people who simply love Jesus Christ, and you will feel that love for Christ and their love, their hospitality toward you if you come and visit with us. We'd love to have you. Good to meet you. Go to our website, if you will. Contact us via that website, or just utilize it to listen to previously recorded messages, frequently asked questions, useful links. That's to be found at www.gospel-of-grace.com. Lord willing, we're going to talk a little bit about the heart this morning. As you know, when I've been speaking to you here on the radio, we've been bringing for you already. We've brought two messages from the series that I've titled The Motive, The Mess, The Miracle, and The Motions. We've spoken to you about the motive. We've also addressed the mess. And we want to address the miracle this morning. Well, that has to do with the heart. You know, some of the most beautiful hymns in our hymnals regard a feeling that comes from the heart. I don't want to give you a dime for a religion that's not heartfelt. Well, if something is felt from the heart, then something must have been done in that cold, dead heart. Just listen to some of these hymns. Do Not I Love Thee by Philip Doddridge. Do not I love thee, O my Lord, behold my heart and see, and turn each cursed idol out that dares to rival thee. Do not I love thee from my heart, then let me nothing love. Dead be my heart to every joy which thou dost not approve. Again, another beautiful hymn. Bless Jesus while in mortal flesh. Bless Jesus while in mortal flesh I hold my frail abode. Still would my spirit rest on thee, my Savior and my God. Be dead my heart to worldly charms, be dead to every sin, and tell the boldest foe without that Jesus reigns within. Again, we're talking about the heart this morning. Another hymn called, O Jesus, Sweet the Tears. Notice this verse. O Jesus, sweet the tears I shed while at thy cross I kneel. Gaze on thy wounded fainting head and all thy sorrows feel. My heart dissolves to see thee bleed. This heart so hard before. I hear thee for the guilty plead and grief o'erflows the more. Let's talk about the heart this morning. Right after this hymn, we'll be right back.
Saw him, I gaze through time.
Thank you for staying tuned and welcome back. Again, we're bringing to you a series of messages titled The Motive, The Mess, The Miracle, and The Motions. In the first message that I brought to you on this, The Motive, we spoke to how our works are not actually good works. They're not actually righteous works unless our motive is also pure and righteous and good. And though we may go through the motions of doing good works, what is our motive? What drives us? What's the driving force behind it? Is a heart that's been tendered to honor and serve the Lord, or is it just a desire to be seen by men or to, you know, get out from under pressures that maybe an aunt or an uncle or grandmother is giving you to do the right thing? Again, the motive means very much. We also, in the second message, brought to you the mess. And what is the mess? The mess is our depraved nature. And we brought to your mind multiple passages of Scripture that describe the fallen nature of man, that his motive is impure and cannot be pure in and of itself, that something has to be done to that cold, dead heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it tells you very plainly that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And so, therefore, if your motive, which comes from your heart, according to the Scripture, the heart being the seat of your emotions and the very center of your emotional life and drive and desire unto God, how does that heart change? Well, that's what we want to talk about this morning. We want to talk about the miracle. And I can tell you it is a great miracle when a cold, dead heart that is descended from a child of Adam is changed. And then and only then can your motive be pure from a heart that has been made pure. In Proverbs 4:23, Solomon proclaimed this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So here he's saying you need to guard your heart with all diligence. Why? He did not go on to say, because maybe issues of life will come out of it. He said, you guard your heart with all diligence because the issues of life come out of it or issue from it. Now, what are the issues of life? Well, obviously, he's not talking about an anatomical lesson. He's not talking about blood. You know, that is anatomically, physiologically true that the heart does pump blood through it. But there's a deeper meaning here, a spiritual meaning. The issues of life, and I believe that's referring to spiritual life, eternal life in the Lord. What are the issues of life that emanate from the heart? Well, obviously, our motive, our desire, what we yearn for. The Savior proclaimed, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You see, how can you hunger and thirst after righteousness? That's your motive. Your desire is for thirst. Righteousness. Your desire is to honor your Lord. But that doesn't come from a regular, cold, dead heart. As we mentioned before, the Bible teaches that this heart is very hard and stony, the way we're born into this world. Well, here he said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, if a heart is worth guarding, and you know, we've often heard people say, well, you better get your heart right with the Lord. Well, you know, there's a sense in which that is certainly correct. But, you know, I would say this. We need to say it with understanding. You can't get your heart right with the Lord unless the Lord has inhabited your heart, unless the Lord has changed your heart and given you a motive to serve Him, to honor Him, and to bless Him. Because the question was asked also in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. So here, the writer of the Proverbs declares that if you're pure from your sin, it is equated with a clean heart. Well, brothers and sisters, who can say that they've made their own heart clean? Well, no one can. In our nature, our heart is corrupt, it's polluted, it's depraved. Well, how did that heart get changed then? Obviously, he says no man can do that. No man has the ability to do it. No man has the ability to reach in and change the heart. I mean, we can reach into the chest cavity and we can massage the physical heart. But here he's talking about the spiritual man, the inner man, the seat of emotion and the seat of motive. Who can say I have made my heart clean? I'm pure from my sin. That's a rhetorical question. And obviously the answer is no one can. No mortal man can. But I can tell you there's one named Jesus Christ who can. And that's what we're going to speak of this morning. If your motive is going to be pure, it must emanate from a heart that has been changed, because according to the Bible, the heart is the source of your desires, and those bleed forward and are seen in your actions, okay? So let's look at some of these issues of life that come forth from a changed heart. And we must also keep that understanding. Chapter 20, verse 9 of Proverbs, who can say I've made my heart clean? I'm pure from my sin. If you think that you have done something to make your heart clean, if your heart was filthy and dirty, and then all of a sudden you decided to let Jesus into your heart, my friends, there must have been some cleanliness to that heart to begin with. If you even had a desire to let Jesus in, if you even had the ability to see him as Savior and yourself as in need of salvation, you see, it just won't work. So let's look at a few verses of Scripture. If you will, go with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. In Ezekiel chapter 36, all right, we're going to begin reading with verse 24. A promise of the Lord, a prophecy of the after the coming of the days of the Lord Jesus Christ and the revealing of covenant blessings unto his people. Verse 24 of Ezekiel 36, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. I believe that land he's speaking to there is eternal life. And we get to enjoy the manifest blessings of that land here in time by dwelling in the land of Zion, or in the kingdom of the Lord, the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue on to verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Water is typical of the Spirit. He goes on, from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Notice he equates and couples together the changing of the heart with the change that's brought forth in the Spirit. Well, who does the changing of the heart? It's the Holy Spirit of God, and we'll see that today in more than one place. And notice what happens when he puts a new heart and a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. That's the heart that you're born in this world with, impure motive, a heart to do wickedness and carnality. He said he'll take that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you. You see, this is the cause for the holy righteous works that he's about to describe. It's a motive that's been changed because of a change of spirit and the heart. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. You see, it takes a change of the heart. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, it refers to the changing of the child of grace by the Spirit, bringing him into a cognizance and understanding of the things of God. In Romans chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice there, he's talking about a twofold man. We're spoken of in the Word of God as having body, soul, and spirit. Well, the soul and spirit gets changed and born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and that changes your heart and motive. But he said the body is still dead because of sin. That means one of these days it's going to die and it's going to be interred in the earth. He said, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. There is described the change of motive, a change of heart, and it requires a change of the Spirit. You know, over in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, the writer of the proverb by the Spirit of God wrote this, the preparations of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Well, are we to blame the Lord for a wicked, dead heart that's not been livened by the Spirit? No, my friends, that fell in Adam. But the preparations of the heart, obviously he's referring to the Spirit-changed heart, that emanation of pure motive. The preparations of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You see, it requires a change of heart. Go with me. We're going to see an example of that over in the book of Acts chapter 16. Again, we're talking about the miracle. How does a cold, dead heart lacking any motive toward God all of a sudden change? Now, you may say, well, I don't remember there being a time when I didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people have had that experience. Then, must needs, the Holy Spirit did a work in you very early in your life. Some people, like myself, can say there was a time when I gave not one whit for God or the things of Christ or the things of the Spirit. I cared not for them at all and lived a filthy, reprobate life. But then, all of a sudden, there came a time in my life when I came under conviction and a desire unto the Lord. Well, what happened? My heart had to have been changed at that time. So we see an example in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul has come to Philippi. In Acts chapter 16, it tells about the reaction of a certain woman named Lydia to the preaching of the gospel. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Was Lydia's heart opened at this very moment of that preaching? No, I don't believe so, because it said this woman had gathered there with the other worshipers by the riverside, and it said of this woman that she worshipped God. See, she had a true heart of worship for the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, for he is passed from death unto life. Here's one that believes in him that sent him. Here's one that was worshiping God Almighty. But she was blessed this day to hear the preaching of the finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the only reason she could worship God and the only reason she could attend to the things that were preached unto her by Paul and the apostles was because the heart had been opened by the Lord. I believe it wasn't at this moment that her heart was open, but her heart had been opened by the Lord, and that's the only reason she was able to receive these wonderful, precious truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to the book of Romans again. Here, Paul writing again to the Romans, he wrote prevalently, very much to the Roman church and the Roman letter about the heart and the spirit. In Romans chapter 5, notice what it says in verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." How? How is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts? By you being threatened by a preacher that you're going to go to hell unless you make the decision, being dead in your trespasses and sins? Because mama begged you enough? Because grandma cried over you? What makes the love of God shed abroad in your hearts? Here, the Apostle Paul tells us, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. 1 Corinthians 12:3, he says, no man can say that Jesus is the Christ, but by the Holy Ghost. Can any man direct the Spirit of God? According to Isaiah 40, he cannot. According to Christ's teaching unto Nicodemus in John chapter 3, no man can control the Spirit of God. See, the Holy Ghost, the wind bloweth where it listeth. There's another example. Also in Romans chapter 5, go to verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, in what state were you in when his blood was shed that has justified you, and that you were secured and saved from eternal wrath through Jesus Christ? For he goes on in verse 10, for if when we were enemies. You see, Jesus did something for you. You didn't even have a heart for him to do for you. Jesus made a successful sacrifice for you when you had absolutely no desire for him to be your intercessor or your high priest. You were enemies. He perceived you as enemies, and yet he condescended and loved and died for you all the same. Isn't that a good and a loving, gracious God? He said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. How is it that we joy in God? Here Paul tells you there's only one way, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't joy in God to our Lord Jesus Christ. We can only joy in God and rejoice in the things of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already given us the atonement, the justification, and the redemption. Okay? Now, we carry on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 very plainly tells you that there is a difference between the flesh or the nature, the spirit of man, and the spirit of God. And that no man can know the things of the spirit of God unless God has changed his heart and motive. That's the only way he can desire them, recognize them, and then receive them in a cognitive, joyful way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You know, a dog doesn't know what it's like to be a man. A raccoon doesn't know what it's like to be a man. Why does a man know what it's like to be a man? Because he has the spirit or the motives and the movings of a man within him. He has the recognition and the knowledge of being a man. Well, he says, in like manner, no man can know the things of the Spirit unless the Spirit of God already be in him to reveal these things to him. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The same writer, writing in the inspiration of God, writes again to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, he said, look, it's obvious to see whose you are. You belong to Christ. He said, is manifestly declared that you are the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. There's that new birth. There's that Ezekiel chapter 36 experience we referred to earlier. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And what does the Spirit of the living God do? Where does it make its work known? What does it change? Not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. You see, what writes the laws of God on your heart and shows you to be a sinner and in need of a Savior? Well, you can only have put that trust in one person. There's only one person trustworthy enough to do it. There's only one person who's ever done it. There's only one being who's ever had the responsibility, the power, the desire, and the efficacy to get it done. And he said, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. My friends, we don't have trust to Christ to get into God. My friends, it is through Christ. See, he's already done that work in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. I bet that darkness is cold and dead. But my friends, that light is dynamic. It's full of warmth. It's full of energy. It's pure. It's clean. It's powerful. But here he said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, time after time after time, we go back to the writings of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, a very oft misunderstood teaching in this chapter. Here it's teaching that you don't have to lean upon the law for your righteousness. You don't have to say, well, how good am I keeping the law? Because only as well as I keep the law am I feeling assured to be in heaven. No, my friends, Jesus has kept the law for you. And how can you know that? What's your evidence? What's your seal that Jesus has already done this for you? It's the faith that he has given you. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So here he says in Romans chapter 10, speaking about the righteousness, the manifest righteousness of God that's been applied to you, and you see it and feel it through faith. Well, notice how he words this in Romans chapter 10, verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Oh, you have to keep that law perfectly, and none of us can do that. But, thank God, there's a but. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring down Christ from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. He said, you don't need to say, well, I've got to go out and get Christ. And by friends, by the same token, we ought not also be so obstinate to believe and so prideful to believe that Christ cannot change his people, his covenant people, unless we help him do it. No. He said, you don't need to have the attitude that you got to go and fetch, that you've got to go and acquire, that there's something you've got to go and something you got to do. What saith it? What's the, all the evidence you need that you're already have been made righteous before Almighty God? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. In fact, from Deuteronomy chapter 30, it worded this way, the word is very nigh unto thee. But here he says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, what's he saying? When you hear the preaching of the gospel, are you taking something from without and appropriating it within? Or is the sound of the preaching of the gospel and the understanding you gain from it, is it showing you that something's already in you? He said that word of faith is nigh thee. According to Moses, it's very nigh thee. It's already in thee. That's how nigh thee it is, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. He's not telling you to confess something to change the heart. He said it's from the heart is the only way you can confess it. Your motive has already been made pure and clean because Jesus already has inhabited your heart. That is the greatest miracle of them all. Next time, we'll try to touch on the motions. Until that time, I pray the Lord would bless your heart richly.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.